The first reading is from the letter to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives should be subordinate to their husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of his wife, just as Christ is head of the church, he himself the saviour of the body. As the church is subordinate to Christ, so wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, and handed himself over for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the bath of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So also husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own flesh, but rather nourishes and cherishes it, even as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak in reference to Christ and the church. In any case, each one of you should love his wife as himself, and the wife should respect her husband. The Gospel reading is from St. Luke, chapter 13. Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? To what can I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in the garden. When it was fully grown, it became a large bush, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches." Again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch of dough was leavened." The readings today give us 3 domestic parables. It goes without saying that Jesus is wiser than Paul. And perhaps we see it in a practical way here in the fact that his parables are so simple, whereas Paul seeks to spell out the analogy based on marriage. And in doing so, as we see it now, he gives many hostages to fortune. The 2 parables of Jesus could hardly be shorter. To what can the kingdom of God be compared? It is like a mustard seed which a man sows. It grows into a big shrub, and the birds come to make their nests in it. It is like the yeast which a woman adds to 3 measures of flour, and eventually it is all leavened. That's it. No allegories, no commentaries. Think about either of these situations, the mustard seed, the yeast, and meditate on how the kingdom of God is like it. They are rich and powerful. Paul gives a much fuller explanation of the ways in which the relationship between Christ and the church can be compared to marriage. His intention also is to keep us focused on the mystery of Christ and the church, the mystery of the kingdom of God. The analogy he offers has a long biblical history. God is the husband of Israel, and she is his wife. Jesus speaks of himself as the bridegroom, inviting his disciples to continue to use this analogy, now in speaking about the relationship between Christ and his body, the church. But things get in the way of our meditating serenely on this passage. It has been used in the course of the centuries to support discrimination against women. There are some places where it is now considered unsuitable for celebrations of marriage. Social and political arguments about the equality of the sexes and the roles of men and women gather around as we listen to this reading and distract us from its main focus. Here is another domestic parable, an analogy that teaches us important things about the kingdom of God, but its use over the centuries and some of its phrases make it, for us, a stumbling block. One might begin to list the points that weigh against a discriminatory interpretation of this profound mystery. be subject to one another. It is mutual, not one-sided. Out of reverence for Christ, the focus is on Christ. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is the counterpart to the wife's obedience, which represents our obedience to Christ. A husband loves his wife as his own body. The union is the most intimate possible, nourishing and cherishing her as Christ nourishes and cherishes the church. The mystery is the love of Christ for the church. The sowing of a mustard seed and the placing of yeast are rich subjects for meditating on the mystery of the kingdom, but neither has become a sacrament of the church. Marriage, however, the fundamental domestic reality, is a sacrament of the church. In some ways, it is the paradigmatic sacrament, since all the sacraments establish, express, and celebrate the nuptial relationship, the marriage between Christ and the church, the covenant of life and love that binds the believer to Christ in the church. What Chesterton calls the marriage of God and matter. Acknowledging the difficulties this text generates for us, we must nevertheless continue to listen to it and to meditate on its teaching, to try to glimpse the mystery. I can never hear it now without thinking of the old Anglican marriage service, during which the woman said to the man, but not he to her, that she will obey him. What a shocking thing, we might now say. But the man said to the woman, but not she to him, that he will worship her. Is that even more shocking?